Guys, you guys finally got what you asked for. A real person who knows what they're talking about to join the podcast today. Unlike me.
You're okay.
You're fine, Jake. You're all right.
Yeah, don't sell yourself so short, no, man, buddy.
I'm the producer. I like to give people what they want, so.
What is it that they want?
Not me.
I feel like the people don't even know what they want sometimes.
They want Nas. They actually asked for you a couple times.
Did they?
I swear to God.
Now look at this.
That's sick.
Look at the lights. Lights are on. Okay. Yo, crazy fights this past weekend. The co-main event was nuts, but the main event I don't think any of us were wowed by the performance outside of like the technicality from a professional standpoint, but it wasn't like a performance fight. Like, I can't wait to rewatch that fight kind of thing. But if you're a fighter, there's a lot of good stuff in there that you could take away from Leon Edwards fighting the hands, getting back to the feet multiple times, how to grab the cage if you need to grab the cage in a pinch. I'm joking, clearly. I'm joking.
Wow. Even the co-main was a little more technical than I think a lot of people might have anticipated.
But it was violent.
It was sick. It does not take away from how sick the co-main event was. I'm just saying, like, the way Gaethje was in the first half of the fight, I'm pretty sure people thought he was going to be like that the whole way through.
Yeah.
Then he turned it up in the third round.
Yeah.
But he was just swinging wild in the first round and a half is what I'm saying, like those hooks. And then Trevor, in between rounds, told him, yo, you got to cut that shit out. Got a box down the middle, gave him advice on the uppercuts.
He actually said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so something along those lines.
Wait, you didn't watch the fight?
I didn't hear him say that.
So you didn't watch the fight?
I was there with you, dude.
So you didn't watch the fight?
Well, he had his back. Guys,
he didn't watch the fight.
I did. I actually rewatched a bunch of them. I watched the co-main and the main today.
So you
rewatched.
That means I watched them yesterday and today.
And you didn't hear him say that. Wow.
No.
I rewatched the co-main actually.
So he didn't watch the fight.
Fuck this guy.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Jake?
Which fight are we talking about right now?
Co-main event. No, we were just talking about that. But let's start with the main event. Let's start with Leon Edwards. He didn't let him bully him. He went out there, did what he was supposed to do. The first round, it was kind of more so to say, did he get taken down the first round?
No. Leon pretty easily won that.
The first round.
Yeah, like he just stayed away at distance and picked him apart with like leg kicks and shit whole round.
I did like that he used the southpaw stance, but then he switched.
Usman.
Why'd he switch?
Well, because we actually pointed that out as we were watching the south. We both caught on to the southpaw stance.
Yeah.
And offensively, that might have been a good strategic game plan for him to hit him with southpaw out of nowhere. But then defensively, he was open to shots that he did get hit with, and that's why he stopped playing with southpaw as much.
Yeah.
That outside leg, I think, if I'm recollecting correctly, he chopped away at that outside leg a few times, and then the left was lined up like southpaw and southpaw. The same way unorthodox, that right hand is always there. I think the left was there for Leon, and I think he hit Usman a couple times and had him go back into orthodox.
Yeah. And he started landing that body kick over and over and over. I was like, that's rude.
But Usman kept blocking with his forearms.
Yeah, which is not good.
No.
Well, I'm saying just to the body.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to be defensively responsible with his hands to check the kick up top from the opposite stances. But then it's like you're so focused on the up top that you're leaving the body exposed.
Yeah.
Like those kicks couldn't have felt good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a tough competitive fight for both guys. The cage grab made me think that Leon might lose the fight or it might have been a draw.
There's an
I actually miss. Well, who grabbed the cage?
Leon.
Leon grabbed the cage when Usman lifted him?
He tried to reap his leg, and he would have fell down, but he pulled himself and kept himself up. And Herb didn't know what to do. Leon was like, no. It was like real quick.
But that was like a blatant, he would have been taken down if he didn't grab the
100%.
Cage. Yeah, like easily.
But the amount of times he's gotten back up, I don't even know if he needed to have done that. Because it seemed like he could have just kept getting back up the way he was getting back up in all the other sequences.
Maybe, yeah. But I feel like he did kind of get hurt the round before.
With what shot?
Kamaru landed a straight right, I think it was, that really stunned him. And then he, like, did a lot of damage on the fence. Like, he was landing, like, crazy, like, throwing super hard.
I remember that.
And I screen recorded. Leon's knee that he landed, and then that whole sequence where Kamaru landed the right, took him down.
Mm-hmm.
Then Leon climbed up the fence while Kamaru was, like, landing these crazy hooks. Like, yeah. Really hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you score that. Like, is the knee harder? Is that a harder shot to take? Because they both wobbled.
Yeah.
Like, the straight right wobbled Leon, but right before that, the knee wobbled Kamaru. But it was kind of, like, quick. Like, he recovered really quickly and then landed the right and, like, took him down and did a lot of damage. So I don't know how you pick which did more damage.
That's why these judges need to get – they need to feel what those feel like.
So but I'm asking you.
I think all these interferences, the nut shots, the eye pokes, there was just so many. I think they, like, broke my – it made it less clear for me who's winning these rounds. Like, I still think Leon comfortably won, but I just – it was hard to pick who won what rounds. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, if you give –
Usman tried to get a cheeky one, though.
He did.
When he kicked him in the belt line, he tried to say it was low, and I was like, no, that was not below the belt, that bro. Wasn't.
He knew it, too, and then he just kept going.
Yeah. It was like, nuh-uh.
But, like, if you give Leon round 1, 4, and 5, but then you give Kamaru 2 and 3, then it should be a draw because of the point deduction.
I thought Leon kind of edged that one out, in my opinion.
Do you want to see these two, like, moments? Because I screen recorded them.
That was in round two. Yeah.
And just judge which one's worse?
No, it's not even that, because those are just two moments in the fight. But what happened in the rest of the fight?
It was kind of even, like, stalemate, I feel like.
But I feel like Leon landed the cleaner strikes in that round two. That's what I felt.
He did. Actually, when they got off the fence after Kamaru took him down.
Yeah.
Kamaru landed a couple hooks. But then Leon started clapped him with one, and then they kind of, like, were done. So it was kind of like, who got the better in that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably Leon won that round.
I felt like Leon edged it out. And that's just how close to the fight, how close the fight was. And I know, Nas, you were saying that when it's your time in the sun is up.
That's kind of what played out. That's kind of what that little edge, that little, like, step ahead that Leon Edwards was, that was kind of what I meant. Like, even though, skillfully speaking, Kamaru's the better wrestler, he has, you know, his boxing's great. He, aside from the kick, aside from getting knocked out in the rematch, he's taken Leon's best shots. Aside from that kick, obviously, he's taken his best shots. But I think just when it's your time, I think the guy whose time it is, in this case Leon, is just always going to be a step ahead. And it kind of played out that way. You know, he won by as much as I thought he would, like a close, like Usman was still going to do. Well, I actually predicted a third round TKO Edwards. But anyways, he had the edge. He had a little bit more juice in him.
So you're saying if this was UFC 4, the video game, that the attribute level would go in favor of Usman for more well-rounded.
I don't know about the whole attribute thing, because that's just not how it works in real life. You get Usman's laid out with one of these.
Is like 99.
With just one of these.
Well, you say he's still. You think he's still the better fighter?
Usman, I think, like on paper, yeah, right? I think, yeah, yeah,
like, theoretically.
I think on paper, yeah.
So
yeah.
His attributes in the video game.
Yeah, but obviously those attributes have an expiration date too, though. You know what I mean? And now we're seeing it's becoming more clear where Usman's expiration date is. Meaning, I don't think Usman, even if he gets back to the title, which is going to be very hard at this point, even if he gets back to the title, I don't think he's going to have the reign that he once had in the recent years.
Devil's advocate. What if that is because there's so much footage on Leon and on Usman and how to defend the grappling assault that he puts on these people, that people just, it's almost like Dominic Cruz when he was on his insane run and everyone was kind of like chasing him. So it's like you got all the blueprint of what worked, what kind of worked, that didn't work at all. And then you kind of eventually figure it out. That's kind of how I feel about Usman. The same thing with Islam. He's kind of like that replica of Khabib. So it's like you got all the footage on Khabib. Now you got Islam coming in trying to do the same exact thing. For the most part, you kind of know what to prepare for in terms of the style. So it's like, well, if I do a basic 2-on-1 and fight the hands and prevent you from locking hands, how do you take me down? And I feel like that's what Leon did really well, making those adjustments. And with that said, I think Volk won that.
Well,
yo, you missed.
Volk definitely got the nod. I didn't miss that. Bro.
Okay, good.
But you said Volk got the nod?
Yeah. I agree with it. But no, I
You heard him. He said it.
So wait, who won?
He said Volk got
Islam
the nod.
Islam Makhachev 4-1.
No.
You just said vote got the nut. You just said vote got the nut.
That's probably like that whiskey or whatever you're having over there, bro. So I didn't say
nothing. I had half a sip of rum and you think I'm
we both just heard you say vote got the nut.
You guys could play it back or whatever. I didn't say it.
Yo.
We're going to put the captions in vote got the nut.
We should make that a segment.
Tag Islam.
Islam lost that fight. Anyway.
No, he didn't.
Anyway.
He didn't.
Fuck, I forgot what I was going to say.
No, that fight was a draw.
We were talking about momentum and timing and... Oh, but yeah, you say that about Kamaru, but what about Leon? Like, did they not fight 5 years ago for their first fight?
Yeah.
Is there not mad footage?
He dragged him through the mud that fight, too.
Is there not mad footage on...
Leon?
I feel like Leon just looked way better yesterday.
But striking.
Also think a KO, like a deep KO like that, I also think that takes something out of you.
Damn, bro, my chopped liver.
No, but that's what makes your run special is because you came back and went and came out on top after all of that. Whereas Kamaru, it's like he got that on his like fifth title defense at 37 years old. You know what I mean? You got clipped when you were in your 20s, not even in your prime. Now you're in your prime, having learned from that, and it's like Usman got clipped, winning yet another title defense. And then he gets clipped. And now that same guy is fighting him for an immediate rematch with that same momentum, with that same thought in the back of his head, I just knocked you out. I just put your lights out cold.
Leon looked way more confident in all this stuff leading up. Like, in the second fight, there were, like, times where, like, Leon wouldn't look in Kamaru's eyes. Like, it looked like he was a little, I don't want to say scared because he's a pro fighter, but, like, not as confident, like. Whereas this time he looked like the bigger man, like.
Well, he had all the reason in the world to be. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by momentum. All these things that like that's all just summarizes momentum. When I say momentum, that's kind of what I mean. It's like that confidence of having just knocked out the reigning and defending champion at the time, Kamaru.
And the pound for pound at the time.
Pound for pound, you know, these are like big headshot things. He should be confident. Damn, you just be pound for pound, headshot, dead.
He couldn't wait to say he couldn't wait to say headshot.
If I hear pound for pound, I have to say headshot dead. Now. Yeah. It's like part of this phrase.
Yeah.
I don't know what the whole chant thing was about, though.
What
headshot
thing?
Dead. Headshot dead. Dead. It's like, it's like,
wait, who said that?
Leon. Damn. You got the crowd to chant that.
Hey.
You can't have the crowd chant that and then show respect to Kamaru. You know what I mean?
He did that after that decision fight?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, right?
So you didn't watch the fight?
I didn't watch bro, we didn't have the volume on yesterday.
We were in the same room, I thought.
We were recording.
Either way, it was a good fight, man. And this is what the championship caliber is about. It's a game of inches, and Leon has... He's got his work cut out for him, of course, being heavy as the head that wears the crown. And then you got Kamaru Usman, nothing to hang his head about. He went toe-to-toe with a guy who literally separated him from his consciousness while he thought he was pretty much unstoppable. And I'm going to say this again because I've said it before. No one in the men's division has ever won the belt back in an immediate rematch. Usually you have to have a fight in between. Now, for some reason, one of those guys have a fight in between. It's like it breaks the confidence or gives the confidence, and they come back and they win or they lose. Kind of like we were talking about GSP, Matt Serra, Amanda Nunes, the only female who lost the belt to Julianne Penna, came back, won the belt. No other guy has ever done that. Stipe and DC, oh, Daniel DC. Cormier.
Nagano and Stipe didn't rematch, right?
No, not immediately.
They fought once, right? Or they fought twice?
They fought twice.
Oh, they fought
Stipe
twice.
Won the first one.
Right.
But Stipe and then DC, because Stipe was out for a while, and then DC fought somebody, and then Stipe ended up fighting DC again, and then Stipe came back and beat DC. So no one has ever won the belt in an immediate rematch, and this was an opportunity, and the fight was that close. So it's just one of those things.
Do you feel like Kamaru like didn't look like himself? I felt that way, but maybe I
don't think he didn't look like himself. I just felt like in every aspect, he was just slightly less sharper. It had less pop. And again, that goes back to the momentum thing. Like, he doesn't have his momentum. Like, momentum is a strong thing, which is why, like, yesterday I was saying that would be the reason that Leon has the edge. Because, like, they fought, they shared the cage 10 rounds together, you know? They've seen each other's arsenal. So now you just go off of the last thing that happened, the last thing in the back of both their minds, and that's Kamaru getting put out.
13 rounds, actually.
Yeah, 13 rounds. It was a three-rounder their first fight, and then five, and then another five last night. Wow. 13 rounds with a man.
What, they've shared over an hour in the cage or something like
that? Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
But now, Fazeev, man, what a performance from him. Nothing to hang his head about. He's one of those guys who's super dangerous throughout the entire fight, but I think in the first round, that's when he is the absolute scariest. The way he throws those combinations is like he's just cracking pads, and he throws it with what it feels like to me, he don't give a shit what you throw him back. He's punching through you and punching through your punches and your kicks just to land something heavy. And that's dangerous, man. But really, really good fight, I thought. And I was trying to have a gentleman's bet with Nas. He didn't want to take it. But
that's true.
It's not that I wasn't confident in my boy, you know? Well, it's not that I wasn't confident in my boy.
You're just not a gambler.
Huh?
You're just not a gambler.
It's not a gambler, yeah.
Me either.
I did bet the house on Aljo, though. I'm not going to lie. I sinned that night.
Yeah, that's good.
But it was a good fight. I don't know what you thought, like, from a technical standpoint.
Dude, Justin Gaethje, like, knows how to hone it in when it's time. Like, he was throwing, like, super wild. I was saying, like, I feel like, how does your cardio allow you to throw this many shots so hard back to back to back and take punches from Rafael Fazeev, like, without gassing out? And then in the third round was when Gaethje was the best.
That's where he separated. The experience factor, like, yeah, being at that level for so long and fighting all the big names, like, Rafa is still new to that level, so he proved he belongs. But I think what separated him, like, he knew how to play the MMA game better. What I mean by that is he was able to, he knew when to look better, when to switch gears, you know, when to turn it up a notch. To be able to seal, like, let's say, the second round, and what he had to do in the third round to separate himself and get the victory.
Even in the second round, I didn't know who was going to win that round. That round was so close. I really feel that the second round could have went either way.
Wasn't it, like, not clear in the judging who won that round?
It was a split, I thought, if I'm not mistaken.
I want to look.
It was a split, right?
That wasn't a majority, right?
It was a majority win. Yeah.
It was a majority
decision.
So that means somebody had it a draw. Yeah. One judge had it a draw.
Because that second round was so close. I mean, I'm not mad at that.
It was... Actually, two judges had Fazeev winning that round.
And I heard one judge had it 10-8.
One judge in the third gave... Round. Yeah, one judge gave Gaethje a 10-8 in the third round.
Yeah, I don't know about a 10-8. I don't know about a 10-8. 10-8 is like... knocked down, almost the fight almost finished.
That's the way that they describe it to us, at least. They say that's the ref is supposed to be like ready to jump in, and I didn't see.
And then you
that.
Survive, yeah. And that's like a 10-8, you know, that's like equivalent to a count in boxing, like,
or duration in time, yeah.
But at the beginning of the third round, Fazeev looked like he was about to take over, and then Gaethje, like, for the last like 4 minutes, kind of had it on lock.
Start landing that jab, could not miss that jab, man. Just kept finding his eye. I was like, yo, his eye is jacked up. And then once he started going for the jab, and they stayed on it, I was like,
and then the uppercuts, and then this takedown at the end of the round sealed it. And I'm like, this is all Gaethje now.
But that's on, if the second round was a 10-9 for Gaethje, do you score the third round the exact same?
See, that's the problem.
That's the question
with
about
MMA judging.
Yeah, because I think they told, like, I think they started telling judges, like, give more 10-8s. Like, so there's a discrepancy what Gaethje did in the third round versus what he did in the second round. You can't score those two the same.
You can't.
It's almost
they do.
It's like the second round was like toss up. You could give it to anyone and no one would really bat an eye.
There's definitely, though, a difference in the judging. Like, the dynamic changed, and you see it in the last year in decisions. Like, it changed hard.
And I don't know if that's for the better or for the worse, because
it's
we
better
don't know.
for us strikers, yeah.
But then when you're in the fight, like Fazeev, how do you know what's going on for you to know if you're winning or not? That's the issue where it becomes for me. You know?
I don't think. See, that's the thing, though. Like Gaethje played that game a little better because he knew what he had to do to secure the round. You know, he knew when he had to turn up to secure the round.
But
where Fazeev just kind of came to fight. I don't know. I think so. I mean, like,
in when terms of the scoring, I'm saying.
Yeah, in terms of the scoring,
we don't know. Like, what's a clear cut? Like, yeah, I definitely think I got that round. Like, I don't know if Gaethje's thinking, like, I definitely got that round. I think he's thinking, I got to just score where I need to score.
One thing is for sure, though. Azeri's come forward.
Yo. Fazeev kept coming forward. Yo, even though he's getting battered.
I don't, yeah, that was wild. The Azeri's, they come forward.
They come forward. That's two for two that come forward, you know?
You're Azeri, you come forward.
I just, if some Azeri wrestler gets signed to the UFC, then he's going to, like, bounce it out. Now he's going to, like, start shooting takedowns and not come up forward. For now, it's me and Fazeev. We come forward, you know? We got that reputation on lock.
Wow, Jake. Damn.
Yo, I have to show you a video after.
That's what we do in college.
When me and Dennis pulled up, remember when you opened the door? Tell him what you heard. Jake, tell him what you heard.
What did I hear?
When you opened the door, when me and Dennis came to visit, and we weren't there.
Wait, huh?
Oh, I'll show you the video
after. Here?
Yeah, it was at Marab's though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't. Oh.
He just ripped ass, bro.
Oh.
Imagine you open your door.
I'll put the video of it.
Yeah. No, don't do it. Don't put the video of it.
You sent me that. I got.
No.
Come on, bro.
Yo, please don't put the video.
I don't know what happened here, but
yeah. Was gonna say. Either way, it was a good fight.
Definitely.
But even that, going back to the scoring, like what we think we're supposed to score, like that second round. And that third round, completely opposites, but they both technically receive a 10-9
but
by the old judging criteria.
Right. So
or
like,
the current.
Should. Because you were comparing it to boxing scoring.
Because that's what. We have a 10-9 must system, yeah. Which is the boxing system.
So
that's what we use.
We adopted that point system, but in boxing, it's different because if you get knocked down, it's automatically a 10-8, right?
Supposed to be.
Even if the guy batters you for the whole round and then you just knock him down.
Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury.
They'll call that a 10-8.
What was the 11th round or the 12th round where he flatlined the Gypsy King and he came back and outboxed him?
11th or 12th. Not the 12th. I think that was the 11th, actually. Yeah.
Where we thought he died. We thought he killed
him.
Yeah.
He's out. I was kind of celebrating already because for the first fight, it was for Deontay. Then the rematches and stuff, I was for Fury. Because, yeah. Like, they had a draw the first fight, and then you just kind of watch how both of them handled themselves. And I liked how Fury handled himself better, yeah. So it was for Fury for the rest of the trilogy.
Yeah, but, like, in MMA, you can't have that same exact way of scoring because it's just a completely different sport.
You can't, but we do.
But then, but what's the solution?
Well, no, but, like, in MMA, it's not a 10-8 if you get a knockdown. But
that is the scoring system round, that we adopted. We don't have an MMA scoring system.
I think it's coming together slowly, though. Like, it's becoming more refined. Like, I think, but not all the judges are on board. But I think, like, we know how to score a fight.
Because we know what we're looking at.
Yeah, like, so, like, the people who understand the current set of rules that the judges are supposed to actually score by, that not all of them actually do score by, but what they should be doing makes more sense than I think it used to. Like, for example, judges used to score higher for like octagon, like ringmanship, like who had the center, like that was
like
a bigger
presence and stuff.
Yeah, like
right?
That today is like the if everything is equal in the fight except that,
it's
then
the last criteria.
That's the, you never score a fight on that really today.
And they say you almost never use that, but then I'll hear people saying, well, he was in the octagon in the middle of the octagon more. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? If I hit you more and you're standing in the middle, you just look dumb.
Right. So.
Yeah, but it depends on the fight itself, too, though. There's just so many factors. It's not you're just standing in the middle, walking forward, getting hit like
Chris Martino versus Sean O'Malley? Is that standing in the middle,
yeah,
walking the guy
down
in a circle,
like a headless
puppy, and getting teed up?
Yeah.
But what do you get credit for? Oh, octagon control? Who's controlling the octagon? You or the guy with the footwork that you're chasing him? Floyd Mayweather. Who's controlling the ring? Floyd Mayweather.
On the fight, man. Just depends on the fight. There was another situation with I forgot who Dotson fought, and I remember
Dotson.
Yeah, was it? I think it was a Dotson fight. Just a while back, I remember thinking it went one way because of the guy coming forward and having like we said, that cage presence, and then they gave the nod to whoever was the other guy. I don't remember what fight it was, but my point is sometimes like that, like Conor McGregor, when he comes out, like you see his presence. You're almost like ready to give him the round just from him just bouncing around the way he's coming forward in his fights. But it's not the case for everybody, you know?
Dude, I don't know. I don't agree because I just think if you step into the cafeteria, because we judge fights by the school.
What if there's no punches thrown? No punches thrown.
But some people don't look at it how you look at it. Some people look at it as if you're going backwards, you're pussy, and you're running away.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm beating you just off that.
Yes.
Even if you landed more punches on me.
The Nick Diaz mentality.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
If you're backing up, you're losing the fight, which makes no sense. But if I'm tagging you up and then making you look stupid, I don't get in what universe could you do that in any, like if you did that in any cafeteria or any playground, who's giving you the nod and say, yo, they're gonna look at your face and be like, nah, bro, you got. You got lit up. No one's saying, oh, damn, but you ran the whole time. But look at your face, look at my face. You see what I'm saying? That's what it comes down to. Who's doing more damage? And obviously some people bruise more than others.
Thank God our judges are not people from a cafeteria, though.
No, of course not.
Some of them judge
like
they are.
But this is the way human nature, we went from takedowns don't score as much anymore. Because now we're saying, okay, you took me down, but what did you do with the takedown? If you didn't take me down and slam me, where that's impactful, if it's a street fight, because it's a fight. We're judging this as a fight. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the criteria. It's a sport, but at the same time, it's a fight. So if we're in a life or death situation in a fight, who's winning that fight better in that situation? Like, if there were no judges, no rules, let me not even say no rules, but there's no judges, no one to save you to jump in. You know what I mean? Like, if we're fighting and I slam you down, I think it's pretty understandable. If I slammed you on the concrete, that fight's probably over. Versus if I took you down and I just hooked your leg and you fell down and I just hugged you the whole time while you're sitting on the ground and you're elbowing and slicing me up from your back, who's winning that fight? You see what I'm saying? So when we're thinking damage because we're thinking a fight. That's why we say control is not the same like in wrestling. You could take someone down in wrestling, and you could keep them down, and we know the point scoring system. I grab the wrist, 2-on-1, I ride the ankle ride, and I'm breaking you down. You get back up, you escape, I take you back down. We understand what's going on there. But for a fight, what we understand is I punch you or hit you, and I'm trying to knock you out. That's the end goal, to make you submit. That's the end goal of the fight.
But are we rewarding passing like a guard? Getting into mount, but not being able to do anything with it, let's say, but you got into mount. You got into a threatening position.
If
you
nothing took somebody's happened, ba- you if took nothing somebody- else happened.
So, okay, so here's a fake scenario. Person A comes out, lands one jab. Person B comes out, lands zero punches that whole round, but has person A on his back the entire time, rides him out, pushes him against the cage, has him in mount,
no
whatever.
Strikes.
No strikes, zero. Does person A win the round because he landed a jab and the guy has a mark on his eyebrow versus, like, that's also, like, I feel like an extreme way to, because it's not a street fight. You know what I mean? It's an MMA fight.
It's a competition.
I didn't want, I don't want to see wrestlers not rewarded for what they do, where I don't want them to be over-rewarded for it. Like a takedown, that's it. He stole the round because it's a takedown. We've seen guys steal entire rounds because of a takedown for 3 seconds and then somebody gets right back up.
Okay.
So we've seen rounds go the other way because of a takedown. So maybe that's too much, but is not rewarding wrestling or grappling in mixed martial arts, is that the right way to go?
But then what about that loudmouth Danny Sabatello who literally lost the same exact way that you're saying? Got the takedowns, did no damage, but the moment the Stotts got out, I was able to hit him a couple times. He ends up winning the round.
I gotta watch that fight. I didn't watch that fight. I can't comment on
the example you gave. One jab. That's basically not that much damage.
Let's say even if you throw one punch.
How is that jab? What if I break your nose?
You throw one punch.
What if I broke your nose on that jab? What if I broke your nose on that jab?
Okay. Let's say you did. Let's say you come out. The first thing that happens is you land the jab, but then I take you down and I'm controlling you the whole round. The whole round, you are under my control.
A slam takedown?
Okay, I took you down. There's no slam. I didn't do damage with that slam, but I took you down, and I'm controlling you the entire round.
One jab versus zero damage done at all.
Okay, yeah. One jab that split my eyebrow open versus a 4 minutes and 59 seconds of wrestling, control, passing, advancing, and all that stuff.
It's a jab. It's a jab for me.
Listen, that's music to my ears as somebody that loves to throw punches.
That's
music
me.
To my ears. But my point is that's almost like not fair to MMA. Like MMA has to be like equal.
I feel like it is.
Equal judgment.
I think it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the concept,
if damage is held at the pinnacle, it's like of scoring.
Bro, I don't care. I'm coming forward.
If you have 4 minutes and 30 seconds of control time and you took one jab and you don't get a couple punches in there.
Yeah. You lost,
that whole
bro.
Time, like if you're not just throwing a little couple strikes and you have someone's back or something, like
Danny Sabatello,
and you know the rules of how they're judging.
Danny Sabatello.
Not, yeah, exactly. How do you not throw any damage?
Awful, bro. Awful. If that's what it is, if this is how they're judging fights now, it only favors me. You know?
Which is good,
but
because I don't even back out of parking spots because I only come forward.
I'm in one time.
No, I had to get my shit towed from Costco the other day because I remember they told me you got to reverse if you want to get out of the parking spot. I said I don't back up. I only come forward, baby.
Wow.
Nah, but I agree with that, man. I think the reward has to go towards the guy who's looking to do damage, not who's looking to.
That's what I would say. The guy that's looking to finish the fight, the guy that's actually coming for a fight, not to
there's a difference
outpoint
between coming
you.
For a fight versus the what that's being done in the round.
Coming for a fight and still getting beat the hell
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. So you could be coming for a fight, like you came forward and did a Chris Montino. Like, you came for the fight, but the fight found you.
No, but that's not even what I mean. I'm saying, like, if you're going to take somebody down, you better be landing some elbows and trying to put this guy away.
Or threatening submissions.
You know, you don't take them down to rest and then hope that the decision favors you because you were able to finally drag them on the mat after getting pieced up. Like I said, there's just a lot of factors. It's not just A or B. It's not the guy that's moving is better now or the guy that's coming forward is, but it's just how the fight goes.
But that's why we need
them at once.
Yeah.
Like you guys are giving the round to Volkanovski because he's throwing, landing more punches with Islam on his back. Where I see it as, bro, the fight could be done at any moment because the threat of a choke is there.
But see, that's a hypothetical
the threat of
thought.
The choke was there, but he had his.
But
hands
we watch
time.
What.
But you're
he
talking
did.
About damage now.
No,
right?
No, I'm just saying. But we watch what he did with that entire 3 minutes and 24 seconds of control. 3 minutes and 24 seconds of control. There was probably one real attempt of trying to actually submit him. And then when he got his hand strapped and started getting punched in the face, he didn't really do much to try to advance the position or to say, I don't care if you punch me, I'm going to finish the fight. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you're saying, like, okay, this is a position you could actually end the fight, but he didn't use it for that.
Bro, that's like rewarding foot stomps, you know? It's like saying foot stomps are doing damage.
Dude, the punches if you look at it, they look like they
were all right. They were all right.
No, every time he landed the punches, you close your eyes.
Me?
Yeah.
No, but also...
He's like, I didn't see nothing.
Oh, my
I think
God.
Islam knew, like, if he stayed there and just held him there, they're probably going to score for him, which is, like, why that rule should be there. Like, you shouldn't just... Islam shouldn't just stand there and hold him. He should try to finish the fight or try to do damage.
Even my situation with Jan when I had his back. I had his back for 3 minutes and about 54 seconds or something like that. And I went for multiple submission attempts. I couldn't finish because he would go 2-on-1 freeze my hand. But then I tried to come to mount. He stopped me from coming to mount, and I landed damage. I threw some strikes from the back. I threw elbows from the back control. But I'm actually using the advantage of that position for the fight, for trying to finish the fight. And if you're going to put someone in a submission and just be like, all right, we're doing jiu-jitsu now, not combat,
dude,
just jiu-jitsu.
It's such a crazy sport. There's just so many
different ways to look at it,
you know? I'm just sitting there thinking, like, what you're saying. I'm just thinking to myself, like, yo, it's so crazy because what you're saying is 1,000% reasonable. But also what I'm saying is also, like, it also makes sense. And
it's like, what kind of jab? Is it a Gaethje jab?
No, but I'm saying now go figure out that round. To me, it's like, yo, the jab in the beginning, like, I'm saying, like, some guys even
cut open easier.
Yeah, they cut open easier than others. So it's like, okay, GSP, to me, GSP beat Johnny Hendricks, right? Let's think back to that for a second. I don't know if you saw that fight. Johnny Hendricks, GSP. People are like, look at GSP's face. True. But look at GSP's body of work over the course of 5 rounds versus Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks had some good moments, and the rounds that he won were more dominant than the rounds GSP won, but GSP still won more rounds. He won 3-2.
Yeah, you, because I don't know what fight you were watching, because Johnny Hendricks won that fight.
You think Johnny Hendricks won
100%.
That fight? 100%. I mean, bro, that's just what it is. It's just two different perspectives. That's
and
what
not
I mean.
Because of his face.
You guys
not,
think
not
Volkanovski won
face.
From doing this and going, yeah, fuck yeah. And it's like, oh, wow, yeah, he's winning the round. Yeah, yeah. No, he's not. He's fighting in Australia. Of course he's going to go. Put him in Dagestan. You're going to have the same effect. They're going to wild out when he locks in the body triangle. It's like, oh, yes.
Oh,
he
course.
Locked it in.
But even when we watched it, like, even rounds 1 and 2 that I thought was a lot closer, I was like, oh, nah, Islam definitely won that round.
Ross, so you think Johnny Hendricks won?
I think Johnny Hendricks beat GSP. I even think Johnny Hendricks beat Robbie Lawler. I think Alexander Gustafsson beat John Jones, the first one.
Damn.
I feel Dominic Reyes actually beat John Jones in that fight as well.
Yo,
I literally disagree with you on everything.
You just dropped a huge bomb on the MMA world.
It's not. I'm only going by what I feel is the way that the fights are supposed to be scored. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not a judge, but if that were me and I went and watched it back, I'd be like, damn, I feel like I kind of got bested. Like, even when I fought a Sunset, it was very close in a split decision. And then when I watch, I'm like, I'm counting up the strikes. And I'm like, I can't get my head around how I lost this fight by outstriking this guy 2-1. That don't make sense.
Because that was the old rule set.
That was the old rule set. But now I'm looking at those fights. I'm like, well, these guys did more damage. And not because he bruises easier or less. I just felt they landed more per round as I'm counting up the strikes and watching it as a judge. I'm like, well, if I was a judge and I was counting these strikes, who would I give the round to? I'm like, okay, first minute. I watched the first minute. I go, who won the first minute? And then we're all in consensus. Reyes. Or we're all in consensus. Gustafsson. Then you watch the second minute. I'm like, so how is it possible for him to win that round if we just gave him 3 minutes or 4 minutes out of that round? So
no, you're right, though. You're right. There's probably fights out there that if we sit down together and rewatch, you probably change my opinion on a lot. Like, I didn't watch Johnny Hendricks and GSP in years. I don't know. I don't remember why I scored it towards GSP. Maybe I was being biased towards GSP.
And that's real time watching. We're not going back and watch. Like, we now have this opportunity to go back and watch it. But in real time, maybe we all thought, maybe I did think John Jones won the fight in real time. I really can't remember. Or GSP won the fight in real time.
But just all in all, though, like, with a champion, I just think you have to come in and take the belt from the champion.
I agree with that, too.
For example, I never get, like, they were saying Volkanovski and Holloway. Two, well, let's forget about two and three.
The
first one. So it was a very passive fight. You know, it was a very passive fight. Couple of low kicks, a lot of movement. But I don't think that you take the belt from a champion by having a passive fight. You need to come in there, do damage on the champion, finish the champion.
Like convincingly beat the champion?
Convincingly beat the champion.
Okay, but like you're judging this fight off this past body of work. You're bringing these old fights into this fight when you say that.
Which fight?
So if it, like, let's say Volk, right? Whoever, let's say Yair, if they have a really close fight where not a lot of strikes are landed and it's very like both guys are not brawling and acting crazy, and it's, let's call it a boring fight, and then they give the decision to Yair, you're saying that Volk should be champion because Yair didn't convincingly beat him? Even if Yair won 3-2?
Well, what does that contradict, though, to what I said?
So what you're saying is Volk, because he has 7 title defenses, he should have to get the crap kicked out of him to lose his belt versus having that fight judged as its own individual fight. See what I'm saying?
I think the champion is defending, right? The champion is defending. Like Israel Adesanya, he gets criticized for like having boring fights, but these guys can't figure him out enough to cut him off the way he needs to be cut off to corner him into a fight that they want to happen.
You could get in that ass, though.
Huh?
You would get in that ass.
Me?
Huh?
I come forward, bro. You know what it is. The sky's blue, Nazim comes forward. You know what it is.
But you see what I'm saying?
I'm the bonus man.
So yeah. if Pereira beat if Pereira and Izzy had a boring fight and it was a 3-2 unanimous decision for Pereira, you think that's bogus? Because Izzy is defending his belt and you should have to beat the champion.
I know what you're saying.
I know what he's
saying.
I don't disagree with what he's saying. I'm just giving you what I think it is. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I actually don't disagree with almost anything that you guys...
Like, you ain't climb up top of this mountain and beat me?
Yeah,
ain't come to the top of this hill and beat
like,
me?
But, like, you're fighting the reigning and defending champion. Like, come take the belt. Come show yourself as a champion. Don't have, like, a passive fight where you match him and it's like, okay, I landed 3 more jabs, so now I got
you're
the
saying,
belt.
Yeah,
I don't think
so
the belt
prefer,
goes all the way.
You prefer it that way.
So it's not like it's not like musical chairs. Like you ain't sit in that chair before I did.
Yeah. Like and go good luck trying to prove to me that you sat in that chair before me. Good luck.
Yo, dead ass though.
Cause I know I never said Volk won that fight or that round.
You did actually. It's on video.
It was 4-1 Islam.
But it's on video.
No, it's not.
I could literally clip the part where you said it and post nothing else. And then it's on record that you said it.
Everyone's going to come for you, bro.
It's not on there.
That's the clip right there.
It's on video.
We
it's on
like
three
that.
Different microphones. Four different
microphones. Like Jake, don't come do for like me,
that.
Please.
I will do you like that.
I would do you like that.
I 100% will do you like
Jake
that.
Jake might do you
dude,
like
I'm
that.
I go for views. I don't give a fuck.
Shit.
We don't get views because he curses all the time.
That's not why we allowed to curse. I might have said the F word.
You gotta bleep it. Beep it.
In the first 2 minutes, they say. I was good for those minutes.
But
speaking of bad judging.
Nah, and don't get me wrong. What I'm saying about this,
I just had a great.
I know we talked about this for way too long. I think there's a middle ground. I just think if you take someone down and it's not a substantial takedown, like if you didn't slam me, bro, then how is that an impactful takedown? It shouldn't count for much. It's just a change in the position of the fight. Like I could have tripped and it's a change in position of the fight. You capitalize on it, but did you capitalize on it, or did you just hold me down? But if I beat you up, or you render me defenseless and I can't do nothing for the majority of the round, and you land more damage. Like, naturally, if you hold somebody down, you're thinking, I'm about to beat the crap out of you, because that's what we're trying to do. We're fighting. So if you do that, you win the round. But if you sit there and just hug somebody from behind, and you throw, like, these small knees or just try to foot stomp, and this other guy's wailing punches on you, I'm giving it to the guy who punched you in your shit. Just like New York style, like, yeah, I punched you in your shit. I feel like I got you. I got you.
You feel me?
Punch him. Yeah, exactly. Like, you feel me? You feel me?
You're cursing too much.
Like, that's how we try and give up. Like, when I'm in the fight, bro, I'm like, I'm going to use my wrestling, but the moment I get a chance to punch him right in his shit, I'm going to punch him right in his shit. And I'm going to elbow.
Yeah, bro.
Like, even with Dillashaw, when I hit him with that back elbow, I'm like, yeah.
I get hook points for that.
You know what I mean? So that's the way I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, yeah, they think I'm just wrestling. Nah. No, sir. You're going to have a headache after that.
Okay,
bink,
speaking of
bink.
Bad judging.
You got to add the sound of bink, bink,
speaking
bink.
Got to hit him with that marge.
Did Roman get robbed?
Nah, Roman. The more I think about it, the more people were pointing out it was a very close fight. The only thing I would say, that fight could have went either way, but I don't think it was 30-27 at all. There's no way you're trying to convince me that Marvin.
No, that was not 30-27, dude.
And that's the problem with judging again.
I actually thought, if it's 30-27, then it's probably for Dalidze, because there was clear, like,
yeah,
Dalidze had clear rounds. I forgot which round, but he clearly won. Yeah, a round, and the other two were close.
I don't know.
So I'm thinking if it's 30-27, which I don't think it was 30-27 Dalidze's way anyway, but if the judges think it's 30-27, I'm like, okay, Dalidze got this. Then I heard Marvin Vittori had the same reaction as Merab and Aljo.
Yo, that reaction was sick.
Yeah.
You guys
no,
were like,
we were almost certain that Roman won the fight based on the scorecards. And then when they said 30-27 the other way, we're just like, in what universe could Marvin have won all three rounds?
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's Marvin's fault. He has nothing to do with it at all. But I think maybe in the first round they were looking at all the leg kicks he was throwing and scoring that versus what looked like Roman cracking him and wobbling him a little bit. Not saying he stumbled all over the place, but it looked like he had him hurt a couple of times. So I was like, yeah, that's got to be a Roman round. I don't know.
I thought it was.
That's why we're not judges, I guess. They know more than we do.
They know more than I do, probably.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Maybe some. I don't want to be extreme here, but I know some of the judges, for the most part, they're not like lifelong martial artists, so they're not always advancing their skills, at least from what we see. And the fact that it's a close conversation that we don't get to like be in, we should have a seat at the table, even some of us, or be able to have a review to get some type of clear cut clarity. Oh, that's a tongue twister. Clear cut clarity. Clear cut. I can't even say it.
Say it five times fast.
Clear cut.
Clear cut clarity.
Clear cut. No, you gotta say it faster. Clear cut
clarity. Got an immigrant over here telling you guys how to.
Clear cut.
I just did it.
Clear cut clarity.
Clear clip.
Clear cut clarity.
Clear cut clarity.
Shit.
To know what the scoring criteria is, so this way when we go into the fight, even though we're fighting because we know we're trying to inflict damage, we're trying to finish. No matter what, we're always trying to finish the fight. We still want to be able to know, like, if we can't get him out of there, at least we know we banked that round. Or if we didn't get that round, in the back of my head, I could go, all right, boom. So I lost rounds one and two. So round three, I gotta come at this guy crazy. I'm coming for the whole bag. I'm coming. I'm doubling down. I'm betting the house in this round. And it's like, I'm going home on my shield or I'm not. Because knowing that you need that finish. But we don't have it. So you can't have both fighters be like, yeah, I think I won that round. Yeah, so I think I won that round. That's a problem.
Like open scoring?
Then they say that it's going to hurt the morale of the fighter. I'm like, nah, son, if you tell me I'm losing, I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to say, F you, F you, F you. You're cool. F you, F you, F you.
No, I think they
and
say,
then I'm coming back and going after my opponent.
I think the argument against it is if you're up four rounds, why are you even going to try in the
fight? You're going to coast.
Which guys already do that if they think they're up four rounds.
Exactly. And so they could that be logic like, makes no sense.
But they might not be. So then we'd get a better fight in the fifth round.
Yeah.
They might be up like, it might be 2-2. They just think they're up four rounds.
Yeah. If Usman's thinking he's losing that fight, does he come out crazy in that fifth round trying to
you
put it on
Usman? You think Usman thought he was winning the fight? Actually?
I don't think.
He said last night.
He said he thought he did enough to win.
He's not wrong in that. Because those rounds that Leon won, we all thought he edged it out. We didn't think like, he hands down won that round.
He must have thought like, the control time did something in the fifth round.
Yeah.
But Leon, he didn't do any damage. Leon did a lot of damage.
This is the problem that we're always going to have. I don't think this is going to change anytime soon. Anytime soon.
So Roman didn't get robbed?
I don't think Roman, he got robbed for 30-27. I think it was a really close fight.
I thought he won.
But I thought Roman won.
I thought he won round one.
Yeah, I thought he edged it out.
I think if he hit some takedowns, he would have separated himself and definitely secured the decision. But then again, if it's 30-27, even if he secured takedowns in the third round, then what's his name still wins 29-28, which is still that would be even crazier.
I'm just surprised he didn't try to take it to the ground at all because I feel like he would have done better down there.
I feel like we're forgetting judges are humans. I feel like they also take mental breaks. They zone out like okay. Main card is coming. This is probably like their 15th fight that evening or whatever, you know, like their eighth, realistically,
the
eighth
three
fight.
Judges for the whole night?
No, they take breaks.
Because I was going to say, that would be very
But it's still strong. A long night. We don't know if they're drinking or not supposed to drink.
And it's their opinion, you know what I mean? It's like we're sitting down. There's no rule set is really going to change or save, like, bad decisions or whatever. Because as long as we're putting humans...
Mm-hmm.
Behind and machines wouldn't be the solution either because then I'd just go to boxing counting up punches. Oh, he landed 300, he landed 200, he wins. MMA is very different, so you need humans judging. But that's the thing, it's like it's somebody's opinion. You sit down three humans and then you sit down another three on a different night for the same exact fight, you might have it a whole different way.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Unless the fight itself is clear cut, like okay, this guy won. 5-0, he dominated.
What's wrong with 10-10 rounds, though? Why does someone always have to definitively win? Like, in a round that we're all confused, how are you telling me that these humans know for sure that this person definitely won that round?
Yeah, they don't. They don't. It's like, you know more than, like, all the judges that are probably judging the fight. Like, really, IQ-wise, just the fight game.
They let former fighters be judges.
No, they do.
Oh, really?
I think you can if you want to.
Isn't Frank Trigger somebody a judge?
He's a ref, though.
He's a ref?
Like round two, we didn't know how to score round two. We're just kind of like, I think it might be Gaethje. You're like, I think it might be Fazeev.
I love that. I love the fact that former fighters are refs.
I like that.
Having them get involved into judging would be cool too. Why don't they? What's the?
I think it's too much affiliation with teams.
Yeah.
Like right. I know so many people, not by choice, but it's like people if you're the champ, people are going to naturally just want to come talk to you. They want to say hello, and then...
I like when this is my judge.
You know what I mean? But then, so it gets a little weird. That could get really messy really quick.
Judging and reffing.
Yeah, like, you remember that time you were talking shit? No, I'm going to let him punch you a couple more times. Took that shit. Then I'm going to stop the fight.
I feel like you could screen
that's
out.
That's what's in Yamasaki. Who's the one that lets fighters die in there?
To the death. Yeah. Steve Mazzagatti and Yamasaki.
Mazzagatti was just shot. Mazzagatti was just shot. He was just, I don't even think he was like paying attention to what's in front of him.
That's what he does every time. Steve Mazzagatti. No, this was Yamasaki.
Yamasaki, yeah. I was about to say.
Well, I don't know. That's
I've had him as a
time.
Ref, too. I was like, Lord, please save me if I'm in a position where I need to tap. And this guy is hopefully there in time, so I don't have to. And I fought Taquinho Mendez, I think, too. And he was a ADCC two-time champion. So I'm like, if my jiu-jitsu is not as good as I think it is, and this guy catches me in a crazy ankle lock or something, it might snap in here. Because even with, who is it? Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir. He was tapping. And he was looking at the ref like. And then I'm like, yo, bro, you got to let this man's knee just get ripped off. Oh, God. That was so bad. That was so bad. But other than that, man, I mean, we had some other good fights too, like Jack Shaw coming up to 145. Gives me hope and confidence about coming up to 145, gets a finish over Makwan Amerikani. I thought he looked really good. Back and forth, which it should be, coming up a weight class, getting adjusted. It's like Nas when he's finally going to go up to his true weight class at 185. Stop being weight bully.
You brought this on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not a day over 180, all right?
I feel like you could even go down.
Where?
To 45.
What?
Everybody says that, but...
Because I feel like there's a good amount of lightweights that are, like, bigger than you in person.
Here's the thing.
Where?
It just has to do with my frame. There's no lightweight that looks bigger than me just on the shoulders.
Okay, but...
Just the way I'm built, though.
Also, it's, like, how easy it seems your weight cut is.
I've never been outstrength by a lightweight.
Yo, tell this man to get big, bro. Tell him. Yo,
I don't know. I'm feeling some type of way right now because we're about to step outside and turn.
No, we're not.
We got mat space in the garage.
I know exactly what time it is.
I'm just feeling like he's like, yo, get big or go to 145. I'm like, yo, what? What
do
you mean get big? Yo, bro, come here, bro.
About to go in the garage real quick.
No, I'm saying you're not a weight bully. He's calling you a weight bully. He's saying all your victories because you're too big.
He's saying where, bro? I weigh 183, 182 pounds. Like walk around, you know. Like okay, let's say get in shape camp. This is a 78.
I'm just saying.
What featherweight is 178 when they're in shape? Training.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. I only know about the bantam. He's 178 today.
Bro, I look at it like this too. I could probably can make 145 with a professional dietitian.
Yeah.
I can make it without dying for sure. I can still have a pulse,
dude,
when they drag me on the scale.
I'm saying no.
The night before your weight cut, I've been with you, and you don't seem like you're suffering as much as other guys who I've seen.
Bro, but
I don't mean it don't hurt internally.
Of course.
Bro, it hurts. It sucks. It's never fun. But here's the thing. It's because I've done this plenty of times, and because I have my weight cuts down now, I know how to cut weight. Whereas before, I might have had bad weight cuts. Like Marab's way of cutting weight is something I haven't done in like 10 years.
Yeah.
So my point is, if I was doing weight cuts like him, yeah, I'd be grumpy too. I'd be grumpy also.
Jake, what the hell I tell you?
Yeah, like yo, Jake, fucking guy, Jake.
Should we tell that story?
I mean, you can if you want.
I don't mind. You tell
me. Bro, I am not. I've heard that a couple of times for whatever reason. Like, yo, he's too small for 55. But it's like, how? Where?
I don't think you're too small, bro.
I never been outstrength or outpowered either. I am the harder hitter in most of the fights that I fight.
I think your lower half is heavier.
Yeah, I just have big legs. You know, I don't have like broad shoulders.
Okay, like Dustin Poirier, I feel like. He looks like.
Bro, that guy look
bigger. Maybe up top.
Guarantee you, I cracked just as hard.
But when do you see? When do you see Dustin Poirier? Have you seen him?
I've seen him in person like a few times.
But you seen him like out of fight camp. You seen him like when he's training. Like you see Nas all the time. So this, you just see the natural weight fluctuation. But you don't really see that with Dustin. You don't know if you're seeing him on a heavier day where you're like, oh, this guy's huge. Nas needs to be bigger for the weight class. Like even like Dennis.
I'm not even saying he needs to be. I'm just saying I think you could do 145.
No, of course. I'm not saying you said that
because there's bigger guys. Who, like, that's all I'm saying.
I don't think you look that much different from Islam and those guys, if I'm being honest.
Bro, I stood next to these guys the whole week at the PI last week. Like, I shook hands with these guys, and, bro, they're not bigger. They're just, my frame, the way
frame,
it looks.
Yeah.
Like, some guy, like, my arms are not, like, they don't look like, they're just plain. And then there's guys that are, like, top heavy. They have, like, broad shoulders, big arms.
Yeah.
But then they have smaller legs. Bro, have you seen my quads? There's these quads are not making 145, my guy.
I've actually never looked.
What are you talking about right now, Jake? What you talking about right now?
That's a fact.
You feel me? I didn't mean to offend you, bro.
That's like people telling me because I don't look like I'm suffering at 135 when I get on the scale.
Who says that?
It's funny.
Who says that?
Bro, it's funny because you're saying you see him the day before and you're saying like you don't feel like he's suffering. And he could probably get
he
down.
He wants to see me
but
suffer.
I'm saying,
no, like, he's having full-on conversations where, like, if I talk to you the night before
he
your
just
wake
wants
up,
to see me suffer.
You're like, yo, go fuck
I
yourself.
I could have a conversation, too. I just don't want to. And I tell people straight up, like, yo, I don't even like talking to people on fight day. Like, that's how much in my zone I want to be. I want to be at peace that I'm about to go to war, and that's it. And nothing else matters. Like, tomorrow doesn't matter. Only this moment. Like, that's it. I don't want to be like Dennis... This guy is talking to his uncle. He's calling his girl. If you're not there with me, don't hit my phone. Like,
weight.
I'm scared.
No, on fight day. Like, but fight day or the night before.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if
I get
you
it,
hit
I get
me
it.
Up, don't expect a response. Like, it's all love. Don't think I'm like I hate you or anything. I'm just not responding. Like,
no,
that's
I'm
just
also. I also. Yeah, I'm also not like a phone like talking to people. I don't like long conversations about absolute nonsense on fight
day. Everyone's different though. Dennis likes to talk. He likes to be on the phone.
Some people, it's a distraction.
To feel like, yeah, for him, I'm like, nah, I embrace it. I embrace like every moment of him. Like, yeah, a couple minutes, I'm going out there.
Yeah, yeah. Never try to escape it. I always think, yeah, right now. I don't need an extra day in camp, extra minute, right here, right now. Let's go. And I could beat you in any, and I could beat you in any circumstance, right here in this locker room, the cage, wherever, you know. That's just my type of mind frame on fight day.
Yeah, I think everyone's different, you know.
It's funny because I never.
That's true. Yeah,
I always get told that I could make 45 when I'm about to make 155. Like I'll be 158 and it'll be like the morning, or like I'll be on the way to cut my last few pounds. Like, looking kind of small for 55. I'm like, yeah, I'm 3 pounds away from.
That's when you look like the weakest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you did such a great job with your weight cut. Like you did it really on point. You barely need to even use like any real water reduction type of method. Like, like how I, like my last fight, I think what was it, eight pounds in the sauna or something like that, or in the sauna blanket. It's a lot.
For you, it's another thing. That's another thing, bro. I don't like to cook in the sauna. I don't like to cook in the sauna. I like to work out. I'd rather walk on a treadmill.
But you like to cook.
In the kitchen. Depends what.
In the cage. You like to cook.
Yeah.
Chef Nas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gotta cook. Ready. Let that boy cook.
Hold up, let him cook.
We got 4 minutes. We don't really have 4 minutes, but I'm gonna say we got 4 minutes.
Four minutes of what? Till
it's an hour. I don't know if there was anything else that we had. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Mikhaev though and Jake Hadley. That yo, Hadley's a bad man. Bad man, bruv.
I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight and be like this. Well, my blanket thing, like, yo, Jake said I could make 145.
No. That's like me telling Dennis he could make 135.
But that's, like, not possible.
And Dennis is an in-betweener. Like, he's not the biggest featherweight, but he's also too big to make.
You think he's not the
a big I think Dennis is a big featherweight, bro.
You don't think Dennis is a big featherweight?
I think when we stand next to each other, we almost
look
the same size.
Bro, me and Dennis are the same size. He's probably even bigger. Like, I meant the shoulder area, the upper body.
In my opinion, Dennis looks way bigger than you.
You think so?
Like denser, like he, yeah.
Like I feel like anytime we stand next to, well, it's denser versus like
when you're like
when we stand side by side.
You haven't seen Aljo at his heaviest, bro. I really thought he was gonna jump up and fight Kamaru Usman.
No, but to me, I think Dennis is like a brick shit house, bro. He's fucking huge.
I also think that. That's interesting. That there's weight classes, like, for example, maybe I don't cut 50 pounds to make 55, but at least whatever I cut now, I can have longevity in. Like, I'm taking shots on the chin. You know, I'm eating shots. I'm getting back up. Maybe at 45, I get hit with the same shot that I got hit on a few weeks ago. I'll probably stay down, you know?
Yeah.
So I really feel good, comfortable at 55, and to my memory, nobody's ever out-strengthed me at 55.
Wait, yeah, so when Dennis and Nas take pictures next to each other, you think Dennis looks bigger than Nas?
No.
So I'm confused. Because whenever I take pictures with Al and Dennis, I always get told
okay,
that.
Okay, let's put it this way. I know my own body, and I know what it is.
No, of course you're a 55er.
There's no lower half in the picture. Mm-hmm. It's only us, and we're both leaning on a table like this. My arm here, like this area, you probably will think I could even make 45, whatever. My reach is not crazy for my weight class. It's actually not a good reach.
I think it's
70,
for you, it's like
69, 70. That's like literally standard. Like that's literally the average for that height. Like your wingspan is supposed to be your height.
Yeah.
Anybody that has
longer
is known as positive ape index. So they have a longer reach than their height. I don't have that gift. My height, my reach is my height, if not short. Same thing as my body. Like, I might not look like a big lightweight or something, but I definitely am not a small lightweight. I cut just as much as everybody else, probably more.
Yeah.
No. I got up to 170.
You know what it is, too? The top guys at lightweight, they have such a different range in, like, body type. Like, you have a Michael Chandler and then, like, a Justin Gaethje.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
A U and a...
And then a freaking, what's his name? 6'4", Tarantula.
Yeah.
He's 6'4"?
Jalen Turner.
Bro, he's 6'4". The guy obviously looks like he could fight at 205. He's 6'4". He could be a heavyweight if he needed to, but he's just not. His frame is just not. And that's my point.
No, I'm just saying I think you could make 45, but I think you're a lightweight, obviously.
I think...
That's all I'm trying to say.
I think you could have a better piece of camera equipment.
You're right.
Was there anything else that happened in the MMA space? I'm trying to think. Oh, Colby Covington pulling up. That's going to be the next fight. I don't know if you want to do some early predictions, what you think about that matchup.
Does he deserve that even?
Probably not. But he is the next guy in terms of the rankings. They don't want to give it to Bilal for what we think is obvious. I don't think Bilal should have tweeted what he tweeted.
I don't know what he tweeted. What did he say?
He tweeted.
He said he got it because he's white.
No, he.
Oh, shit. Man, I don't want the.
I'm like, damn, you thought.
And it's going to sound contradictory because my teammate was like very, like, politically. Marab was very politically driven. But I personally don't like not race, religion, politics. I don't like any of that, like, to be a conversation at all in any form in this sport. So if he said that, it's weak. It's whack.
I feel bad for Bilal, though. Like, I'm sure he's pissed when he heard that.
Well, he can't get the fight with Hamzat because Hamzat is now an 85er, what they're saying.
Now they're going to do Shavkat, they said, for Bilal.
And Bilal. So now he fights Shavkat. Well, if he beats Shavkat, then he gets his chance. But I mean, look at me. They tried every way, angle, shape, and form to not give me a title shot.
Yeah.
You know, they gave it to the guys who beat a 42-year-old, Piotr Jan. They gave it to him. And they gave it to Jose Aldo, who came up with a loss over Marlon Moraes.
Yo, that's actually crazy.
It's a crazy story.
Yeah,
you know, so Bilal's going to get his opportunity. And when he gets it, he just needs to make sure he don't shit the bed like I did my first time and hope for a disqualification and then try to redeem it.
And then
the way you want to go.
Act your way. No.
Just hopefully when he does get his chance, he's ready. And that's the most important thing. If I had any advice to give him, I'm like, I would not use the race card because that's a slippery slope, especially.
They don't like that.
They don't like that one. Nobody really likes that. Even if it is true, people don't like that.
Everybody's going to get aggravated. Everybody all around is just going to get aggravated by that comment. Like, you win nothing with that comment.
It makes you look worse.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't. Whether it's true or not, like, which is, point is, it's going to aggravate everybody.
It just has to be substantially true for you to go that, because it's like, yo, you're jumping off of a ledge right now.
Because it's also like,
there's the edge, you jumped off of it.
That's not why. Like, everyone knows that's not why. They don't like Bilal because they think he's not engaging to the fans.
Well, he's engaging with the fans. They don't like his fight style.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when he's fighting,
Though he did have a knockout TKO win in his last.
No, fight. I don't criticize his fight style too much. I think he's all right to me, but just. All
right, so we're going to go do a marathon of Bilal fights upstairs. We're going to hold you to that. I want to make sure you don't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah.
You're bogus for that.
I know what you're going to do right now. You're going to. That's going to be like 8 hours of footage, bro.
Okay. Great. So you tell me. I'm good.
But in his last fight, I felt like he heard the criticism and then did something about it.
But they're worried that he's going to go back and do that again. And they're worried, even with me, like, they know they like me outside of the space, but they know for the sport, they would rather have someone who's a striker who's going to go in there and mix it up, stand toe to toe, and try to get a knockout. Because that's what they want to see.
Right.
And they don't want someone coming in and just dominating for X amount because, one, they pay you more. I feel like this is a lot of game that I'm going to give away, but I think this might come back and shoot me in the foot. So I'm going to just cut it here. I'm going to say just leave it on the fight style. It's just not appealing to the fans. And if you understand what they're looking for, you can either do it or you can just keep doing what you're doing and keep winning until you can't be denied. And I think that's where Bilal is. Just keep winning until you can't be denied.
But what is exciting, though?
What is exciting? I mean, they want to see someone coming forward,
yeah, baby.
A Fazeev. They want to see a Gaethje. They want a Poirier. They want those type of fighters, and that's fine, because that's what most people understand anyway. When you start grappling,
even
a
if
lot
you're
of people
gonna
understand what's going on,
I think there's big. I absolutely love wrestling and grappling as much as I talk about coming forward and hands this that. Like, I absolutely love wrestling and grappling, and I, like I said, I'm for making that as important, just not too important, like a takedown. Still important to me. Anyways, the predictions. Colby Covington of 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would be very confident going into this matchup. But
Southpaw versus Southpaw, too.
But this whole magic momentum thing, slight edge to Leon.
Imagine Colby winning the belt, though.
That'd be the sickest day. That would be something in the shades of, like, in the form of like McGregor and winning then if, it, and then the if, pinnacle when he was snatching the belt from Aldo and raising it and all that.
Plot twist. Covington is not a striker, though. He's a grappler. So if he does get the belt, that kind of just shits on everything we just said about Bilal.
But Kobe does other stuff to make up for that.
Dude, yeah. he throws and he throws in volume. Look what he did to Robbie Lawler.
But even outside of that, like the whole shtick that he does, he's a lot more like that, where it's like if it's, you're not going to be entertained by his fight style, you're entertained by his shit, whether you want to see him win or you want to see him.
But if you, the way Kobe talks raises the stakes so much,
yeah, 100%,
that it makes you more engaged in the fight, even if he's gonna just wrestle.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Yeah, and then but also, I feel like you said Kobe of 3 or 4 years ago. I think he wins. I think Leon made so many improvements in the grappling department that we saw yesterday, and I don't think Kobe's a better wrestler than Kamaru. And Kamaru had a hard time getting...
Nah, but the way he does it... his approach and the way he mixes it is a little bit better than Usman different. To me.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Usman got him in the boxing. Like, he dropped him in the boxing department. The wrestling
and
was...
And the size.
Yeah,
the size
and the size
Kobe's
thing.
Not a big welterweight.
He was 188 when they gave him a call, like Wednesday or something like that.
And that then
he dropped, he dropped 18 pounds.
Yeah, so I'm assuming like 195 is as heavy as he'll get, which is not a small welterweight.
He said he can make 155.
Well, he better not, because...
But he said that because he was like, I can make it, but he's like, I lose so much. I got the frame, I got the cardio, and I could go for days. And
that's how I feel about 55.
So he's staying at 70. Like, even when he stood next to Usman, you could see who the true welterweight is in terms of size, but Usman is a big dude.
No, Usman is big welterweight is what it is. Yeah. That guy stood in a stare down with Blachowicz.
Yeah,
they weren't far off.
No,
yeah,
they weren't far off. That's crazy.
Yeah,
so this is a lot.
I feel like Leon will win though if they fight.
You think so? I'm torn on that one. I really am.
I do think it is different. Like it's almost kind of like not. It's not like I don't want to compare you to Kamaru, but it's like Kamaru and Kobe's wrestling styles is—it's like comparing you and Merab, kind of. Like they're just two different things.
Two different styles, and then the same
one's
thing.
More like control. Well,
why
and one's
I
more
say
volume.
The 3-4 years ago thing is not even because I think Kobe fell off. We just haven't seen him on a consistent enough basis to know how he's going to show up against Leon. Whereas in 3-4 years ago he was more consistent, and it's like, yo, yeah, Kobe's on fire. He got it. He still got it.
We've seen him against Masvidal, really, really good striker. Now, the only thing about that is Leon's the bigger striker compared to Masvidal, who's used to be 55. Leon can't make 55. So that's what I'm thinking is going to be the difference in that striking department. And he's going to fight a bigger guy who's going to be just as good of a striker, and whether or not he can get him down multiple times. And he's going to need to have that Merab-like pressure, which Kobe has shown in the, that he's got that crazy bedroom cardio. He says,
incredible.
Plus, if Kobe, unless if Kobe's
pause.
Not, a, if
I said incredible. I said incredible. I said incredible. Pause.
I'm gonna get you a napkin.
Pause.
Yeah, napkin.
Nah.
Oh, damn, sorry, bro.
Yo, bro.
What?
He said incredible.
I lost my train of thought.
You shut your fucking
mouth.
I think we're good with that, bro. Honestly.
Who do you got?
I'm torn on this, man. I like both guys. And this was the problem with me, man.
I want Kobe, bro.
Because I know all these people. So it's just like, am I going to go against my own country?
You know what I want?
Am I going to go against my old countrymen in the States?
Kobe. I don't want Leon to lose, but I want Kobe to have the title somehow. I want him to be spawned with the title without Leon having to lose to him. And then I want Connor to beat Chandler at 170 and get the 170 title shot.
That would be
and
insane.
Him and Kobe go back and forth on the press conference stage
that
and build up
insane.
The biggest, most trash talking fight of all time.
Crazy.
And then, then
Jake White.
Connor somehow wins. Somehow Connor wins, and then Islam fights him for the double championship at 170, and that's like 4 million pay per view buys.
You know,
biggest
Islam's
fight
calling
ever.
Out Leon right now.
Yeah, Islam wants that double champ. He's like sick of everyone saying Volk won, like you.
Islam, wait, say that again. Islam's
sick of all the slander from you saying that he lost to Volk. So
Islam is not sick of no slander.
No, because you said he lost to Volk. So he's mad at you.
I never said he
now he wants to get the double champ.
I literally never said that.
He wants to go up a weight class and beat
Leon. Because I still think even with that review, that 45-minute review of that fourth round, was it? I still think Makhachev had a comfortable 3-2 win.
So because, but I have it on, all I have on camera.
If I'm going to have problems, I'd rather have it with Australians than Dagestanis. Because
all I have on camera right now, brother, is you saying, Volk won that fight.
49-46 is not even conversation.
If Conor beats Colby for the title somehow, that's the biggest pay-per-view of all time, first of all. And then Islam comes up and fights Conor. You got that whole Conor-Khabib thing. That's it outdoes that in pay-per-views, and then you got the two biggest pay-per-views of all time.
Wow. Jake White, for sure. You're right.
I should...
I think a Colby versus Conor buildup would literally like the TV would everybody's TV would just shut off.
I think it would be like almost as big as like you remember when the Floyd and Conor buildup was going and it was just like world tour giant outdoor arenas filled with people and
yeah
it was everywhere. Conor saying fuck the Mayweathers.
Yeah, I was at the Barclays. I pulled up to Barclays.
That's actually sick.
For the press conference.
That was
But that was out of the four press conferences, that was my least favorite one. If I was at the Toronto one or the first one. Yeah, the Toronto one is the one I would really like to have been at.
Dude, all of those were sick. I'm saying that the Conor and Colby trash talk would be so viral.
It's just cool that we're living in these times right now.
Yeah. Cause one day there won't be a Conor making fights anymore.
And it's not even that. We're in the thick of it. That's the craziest
part. You're in the thick of it. You
right
too.
In the thick of it.
In the thick of it.
Thick of it.
All right. I think that's it, man. I think we had.
So you got Colby.
I'm not picking nobody.
I want Colby to win. I would like to see him win. 51-49, Leon Edwards.
50-44 in Minnesota. That's what Colby said he did to Jorge.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. We're going to make sure Nas makes 145 for his next fight. We're going to make sure Jake comes correct. We're going to figure it out and see who's really a 45er in the
I'm definitely not a 45er. I'd be lucky to make 205 right now.
All right, guys. Peace. Wait.
No, we'll do.
Is it this?
Yeah, I can't even really do it right now. Peace, guys. This is how I'm feeling right now. I'm from alien Mars.